Today's scripture is Proverbs chapter 23, verses 29 through 35. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample mixed or bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind will imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I am not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so I can find another drink?
How many of you knew that was in the Bible? We're going to continue to look a little bit at some of the wisdom in Proverbs. And so today it's this topic. You know, if you were in our home, as some of you have been, and you noticed a wine rack with three, four bottles of wine, and saw in the refrigerator when it was opened a few cans of beers, what would you think? You don't have to answer that. You would probably think it was inappropriate, because I know that some of you don't think it's appropriate to drink any kind of alcoholic beverage, let alone a minister of the gospel. Now consider this for a second, though. The greatest minister who ever walked this earth turned water into wine at a wedding feast in John 2. When you read the Gospels, it's not uncommon to read about Jesus dining at someone's home or at a feast. And the implication is that he would have had wine to drink along with all the other guests. And not only that, but he encouraged his apostles to drink wine when he instituted the Lord's Supper, for which we partook just a few moments ago. So, you wouldn't expect him to do that. You wouldn't have expected him to encourage his apostles to do that. You wouldn't have expected him to turn water into wine if he didn't think it was appropriate to drink it himself. Paul encouraged Timothy to drink some wine to help relieve some of his stomach ailments in 1 Timothy 5:23. He did say, however, drink a little wine. The problem with wine and alcohol in general is that many people can't drink just a little. And when it comes to alcohol, there seems to be this problem with self-control. And we're going to find out why in just a second. Let me emphasize that alcohol itself is neither moral nor immoral. It is amoral. It has no morality. It's kind of like money. Money's not moral or immoral. It has no morality at all. It's not good or bad. It's neither. But let me emphasize what is bad is the love. It's the love of, we know it's the love of money is not good, because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, according to Paul in 1 Timothy 6:10. Therefore, it's kind of the action or the attitude associated with money that determines whether or not there is sin. And so I contend that it's the same with alcohol or wine. And my goal this morning is really to kind of help paint a little more accurate picture of what Scripture teaches about this topic of drinking and wine and alcohol, which may surprise some of you. So I know you're going to be listening now. Galatians 5:21 clearly lists drunkenness as a work of the flesh. It's part of this list of sins that include sexual immorality, idolatry, sorcery, you know, divisions, etc. And most of you in here know that the main problem with alcohol is really the overindulgence of it, which leads, of course, to drunkenness, which we're told is a sin. Drunkenness is bad enough, but it can also lead to a lot of other sinful activities and behaviors. Proverbs 20 verse 1 teaches, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." And so the proverb is kind of personified as persons of kind of degraded character. You know, wine mocks the one who drinks it because it often ends up embarrassing them. And strong drink can make a person very aggressive and make you say, it will cause you to say and do things that you would not ordinarily say and do. So Proverbs teaches that too much alcohol can cause you to indulge in some very foolish activities. And it's just not wise. And of course, that's not the only problem with wine and alcohol, but it's one of the more common ones. Proverbs 21 verse 17 reads, "Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich." Now, I've heard people say for years that a party's not a party unless there's alcohol involved. And I've always interpreted that to mean that a party's not a lot of fun unless everybody gets drunk. You know, we've all heard stories of families who were poor because dad was an alcoholic. That dad drank his wages and he didn't support his family as he should have. There is, however, a verse, and there's more than one actually, but I'm only going to give you one this morning, a verse that confirms for me that drinking alcohol itself is not evil. In fact, it is to a certain degree a blessing. Now I know I have your attention. That verse is in Psalm 104, at least one of the verses. Psalm 104, verse 14 and 15. In this psalm, the author David is praising God for numerous blessings that God has bestowed upon man. And in verses 14 and 15, he says what you see on the screen. "You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart." You catch that? You see that? David specifically lists wine as a blessing because of what it does. It gladdens man's heart. It makes you feel good. David lists that as a blessing. Now, you can understand, therefore, why people become addicted to alcohol, right? David enjoyed the feeling he received from drinking. So I would conclude that the gladdening one experiences from drinking wine or alcohol is not necessarily bad. David also mentioned oil in that verse that makes the face shine. According to the Harper Bible Dictionary, oil was used for a number of purposes back during that time, one of which was for a festive occasion, for the purpose of bringing refreshment and pleasure to someone. If you remember, Jesus criticized a Pharisee by the name of Simon in Luke 7 because he neglected to anoint Jesus' head with oil when Jesus came to dine with him. So having oil apparently placed on your skin in those days was kind of a way of honoring your guests, a way of giving them some refreshment, some pleasure. My point is that the joys of feeling good and experiencing pleasure and refreshment are not sinful. God wants us to enjoy life. What becomes sinful is when a person cannot exercise control and overindulges. That's one problem. The other problem is seeking pleasure in the things of this world and not in God. Because when you seek pleasure in the things of the world, that pleasure will be temporary. It will wear off. When, however, you seek pleasure in God, that is not temporary and that doesn't wear off. So looking again at Proverbs 21:17, it seems as though there's a contradiction when you compare that to Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15. But if you look at verse 16, Proverbs 21:16, it gives us a little clue as to what he might be conveying here. "One who wanders from the way," this is verse 16 of Proverbs 21, "one who wanders from the way of good sense will rest in the assembly of the dead." And then he wrote, verse 17, whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. So when you try to reconcile those two verses in Proverbs 21 with Psalm 104, it seems to me that he's saying that it's not good sense to love pleasure. A pleasure that comes from wine or oil particularly. It's okay to experience pleasure. It's okay to, you know, feel pleasurable on occasion, but to love it can lead one down the wrong path. You know, we're told not to love money either, right? I mean, even though we need it, even though it's beneficial to us, even though God gives it to us, we're not to love it. We're told not to love anything in the world, actually, 1 John 2:15 through 17, except God and your neighbor. When I was growing up, and I suspect it's still the same today, the only parties that my friends ever found fun, ever thought were fun, were the ones that included alcohol. And I never understood that because I was never a drinker. I never got started drinking. I don't drink. I didn't understand what it was like to have my heart gladdened, as Scripture teaches. I have never, Scout's honor, I have never, I don't know how Scouts do it, but I have never experienced that feeling. Now, I've had some alcohol, but I have never experienced that feeling. So in those verses that Jared read for us a moment ago, Proverbs 23, 29 through 35, which it points out the results of a heart that indulges in too much strong drink. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine. Those who go to try mixed wine. You know, one of the reasons that people drink is to help them forget their woes and sorrows. But this teaches that an overconsumption increases their woes and sorrows. You know, and that again is what happens when you look to worldly sources of comfort instead of spiritual sources. The father who was speaking in Proverbs 23, he warned the son not to be tempted by this color and taste because too much of it will harm you. In fact, it can literally poison you. You may have read recently about the situation that occurred at Penn State University with a young man, Tim Piazza, who was wanting to get into the Beta Theta Pi fraternity. And so, you know, a lot of these fraternities have these initiation things they do when they pledge. And he was, I won't say he was forced, but he was encouraged to drink 18 alcoholic drinks in the span of an hour and 22 minutes. And he died. It poisoned him. The father went on to say in verses 33 through 35, your eyes will see strange things, your heart will utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of the rigging. They struck me, you'll say, I wasn't hurt. They beat me, but I didn't even feel it. When shall I awake? I need another drink. You've all probably known someone, or maybe even experienced yourself, who after a night of drinking woke up, couldn't remember what happened the night before, or didn't even know how you got home. When I was attending school at OSU back in the mid-70s, my first year on campus there, I stayed in Taylor Tower, which is on the back of it, Butts Lane Avenue, real close to High Street. And it's a tower. I was living on the 9th floor, and I was coming home. It had to have been a Friday or a Saturday. I don't remember. It's a long time ago. And so the elevator got to the 9th floor, the doors open, I went to walk out, and here's a guy laying prostrate on the floor, puking his guts out right in front of the elevator. And so I just kind of stepped around, thinking to myself, there's another reason why I don't drink. That just does not look like fun to me. Sickness, memory loss, passing out, not the only side effects. There are lots of side effects. Another side effect is the loss of good judgment. Proverbs 31, I don't know if you've ever read this or not. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 4. King Lemuel's mother wrote to her son. And as mothers are prone to do, you know, they never stop mothering. They're concerned about their children. So she gives her son, the king, some motherly advice. And this is really good advice. She says, "It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who's perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more." So her point was, you know, fairly clear. Because you're a king, you need to have good judgment at all times. And too much strong drink clouds a person's judgment and numbs a person's thoughts and feelings. That's why I'm confident that Jesus, if he drank wine, he didn't drink much. You know, and I'm fairly confident that he drank some wine. That's my personal feeling. But I'm sure it was not very much. It was probably very much limited to just a meal when he ate. So, you know, there are appropriate and inappropriate times to drink wine or alcohol. One of those inappropriate times would be when you're on the job. My first job in architecture, right out of OSU, I applied for a job with an architect, the only architect in Martins Ferry. Martins Ferry is a pretty small town. It's amazing that there was even an architect in that town. But so I applied and I was hired. And I didn't know it when I was hired, but the principal of the firm was an alcoholic. I figured it out when I saw a certificate on his wall in there that his wife was an alcoholic. She'd completed a course to be an alcoholic rehabilitation specialist. But he controlled it fairly well. There was only one time when he kind of ended up drinking too much while he was on the job. And that was one day I was coming back from the office. I had been to a job site or something, and I was coming back to the office, and he came to the door of the office before I could even get into the office. And he handed me some money. He said, "Here, go buy some supplies or something and take the rest of the day off." And I could tell he was drunk. So he just didn't want me coming back into the office because he was in the office drinking. And, you know, that jeopardized his career. It jeopardized my career as an employee of that firm. Imagine if a judge in a court of law whose responsibility it is to render right judgments is impaired in his thinking. Or how about a surgeon with impaired vision and judgment while performing surgery? I happen to know of a very talented doctor in Lancaster while I was living there whose license was suspended because he had gotten hooked on prescription drugs. And he went through some rehabilitation and then was permitted to come back and practice some more. But there was always some person standing in his office watching everything he did. And he couldn't overcome it. He began taking those drugs again, and he lost his license and no more practices as a doctor. But he was a very talented guy. So consuming alcohol at inappropriate times can lead to serious problems. I mean, it's obvious, right? I'm not teaching you anything you don't already know. And it can negatively impact not only the one who consumes it, but the lives of others. According to alcoholrehabguide.org, about 40% of convicted murderers had used alcohol before or during the crime. About 27% of aggravated assaults are committed by individuals who have used alcohol. To me, that sounds like a low number. An estimated 37% of sexual assaults and rapes are committed by offenders who are under the influence of alcohol. Roughly 4 in 10 child abusers have admitted to being under the influence of alcohol during the time of the offense. So you can see what happens when a person indulges in too much alcohol. You know, society has kind of labeled an addiction to alcohol a disease. And I'm a little skeptical of that. Of course, I'm not a medical doctor, so I don't know all of the medical and chemical issues involved. My question is, though, if it is a disease, how is it that you can avoid the so-called disease by choosing not to drink? In other words, you don't contract this disease if you don't drink the substance. You see, my understanding of a disease is something you inadvertently contract, not something you choose. You know, I don't think anybody chooses cancer. I don't think anybody chooses a disease. To me, alcohol is the addiction of alcohol is more of a disorder than it is really a disease. But like I said, I'm not a medical doctor. Many of the problems we suffer in life, including this, stem from our poor choices, which often result from a lack of self-control. So if you struggle with self-control or have an addictive personality, then I would be very wary of drinking any alcoholic beverage. So I want to summarize a little bit that wine, according to David, is a blessing from God. And that's not the only verse in there that talks about that, if you want to look that up. It's not a sin to drink, because Jesus encouraged his apostles to drink. And Jesus encouraged some guests at a wedding to drink. However, I do not, and I want everybody to hear this, I do not encourage the consumption of alcohol. In fact, I would encourage you to stay as far away from it as you possibly can because of all the problems associated with it. Most importantly, we know that consuming too much alcohol is sinful, it's harmful, it's difficult to know how much is too much until it's too late. What the wisdom of God in Proverbs teaches is that the overconsumption or dependence on wine or alcohol is sinful. It can lead to poverty, it says. It can cause a lot of problems for you, as we've talked about. It clouds your judgment. It can literally poison you if you drink too much of it, which is exactly what Satan would love to do to you. Satan would love no more than to poison you, to poison your mind, to poison your body. And you can do both of those things with drugs and alcohol if you can't control it. Ephesians 5:18, Paul wrote, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And debauchery is just a word that means corrupt, depraved, or immoral. So Paul has a better idea than to get drunk with wine. He says, "Fill yourself instead with God's Spirit." Today on your communication card, hopefully you still have one, there are the three next steps. Memorize Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and one who is led astray by it is not wise. Read Psalm 104, the psalm that talked about David, the blessing he feels that it is, the feeling he gets from drinking wine. And take the control challenge. You know, don't allow anything to control you except the love of Jesus. So if you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not even filled with God's Spirit, instead of filling yourself with wine or strong drink, fill yourself with the Spirit of God. God fills you with His Spirit when you confess your belief in Him. When you turn away from sin and die to sin in baptism, then God fills you with His Spirit. I encourage anyone this morning, if you're not a Christian, if you've not made that commitment to Jesus, come and drink of the life-giving Spirit that God gives you. That is something you'll never regret drinking. And so if we can help you do that this morning, we encourage you as we sing this next song, come to the front. Turn your life over to God. Receive that Spirit. We'll help you do that this morning. Or go to the back. Talk to one of us afterwards. Either way, fill yourself up with Jesus this morning if you have not done so. We invite you to do that right now as Robin leads us in this song.